Actually, for Sunday school, I thought I'd just read one verse and then we'll watch a movie, watch TV this morning. How's that sound, anybody? No? That's not what you want to do? Well, praise the Lord. Huh? Sneaking in right at the last minute. Larry? Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles. You have a Bible this morning? This is my Bible. It says, I'm a sorry, low-down, wretched, hell-deserving sinner. Amen. I'm going to do something. I sat yesterday and just got, God put some things in my heart yesterday. And I probably will go up in the studio one day and do this. But I want to help our church this morning. In 1 Corinthians, we are in chapter 12, and we're dealing with the gifts of the Spirit. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, we're going to get into some areas that they're understood by a lot of people, they're misunderstood by a lot of people. And my heart's desire, more than anything else in this whole world, is for my mind to be conformed by this Bible. And I want to tell you something. My mind is like everybody else's. It's like how the Bible says, it's like a wild ass of the wilderness. Okay? It's like trying to tame a wild horse. You ever seen a wild horse be tamed? They don't go down easy. Okay? And it usually takes a lot of whip and things like cattle prods. Okay? Electric cattle prods, just zip like that. That's how my mind is. And that's the mind and the heart of man, is that once we get something in our head, it doesn't leave us easily. We get it in our head that we like sin, that we want to keep sinning, and that we'll be okay on judgment day, and then it literally takes a pounding by the Holy Ghost to get that out of us. But there's a lot of question in people's minds about what we're supposed to believe and how we're supposed to believe it. And I would like for this church to just be a church that we're going to follow what the Bible says. I'm not afraid of following what the Bible says. I have no fear of learning what this Bible says. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of churches out there that say, oh, we follow the Bible. But if you examine their doctrine in accordance with every word of the Word of God, their doctrine doesn't stand up to the whole counsel of Scripture, to the whole counsel of God. That's what you have to do. You have to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and then go back and read it again. And then go back and read it again, and go read it some more, and read it some more, and read it some more. And then God begins to teach you things, and He begins to help you, give you understanding of what's going on. And when God really just began to help me in the ministry, it's been my heart's desire, as many of you know, to just want to know what this Bible says, to teach it and to know what this Bible says, and then to do it without apology to any man. And there are some things that I'm going to teach that I don't think inside this church anybody have a problem with, but outside this church is going to be some people have some problems with it because it doesn't match their doctrinal statement or what they've been taught for the last 50 years. But here's the thing, if the Bible says something that is contradictory to something you've been taught, who's got to change? You do. But you know what men usually do? Change the Bible. They either say, well, in the original language, Phil, it really should have said this. Okay? Or they'll say, the ancient manuscripts do not have this verse, so someone added it. Or they'll say, well, that verse doesn't apply. It's kind of like, and I don't know if you know this goes on, but at history museums and archaeology museums, they've got it all in their mind that the earth was made 15 billion years ago, and they've got all these layers and stratas and everything like that, and everything needs to be in its own strata. When they find fossils that don't belong in a certain strata, you know what they do with that evidence? They chunk it aside. Because that evidence contradicts their theory. And they get paid a lot of money to have that theory. So they throw the evidence out. that it doesn't match. You've been told that it takes millions and millions of years for something to fossilize. There is a cowboy boot. A cowboy boot. They actually trace the manufacturer of this cowboy boot with a part of a human foot still sticking in it, fossilized. And they found it in the bottom of a pond or a lake or something like that. The manufacturing date of this thing, it doesn't go back any farther than 100 years. I don't remember the exact date. But it was completely and perfectly fossilized. The boot and all turned to stone. So it doesn't take millions of years to fossilize something. Okay? But it just kind of makes you wonder, whose foot was that in there? You know, poor guy. Anyway. So we're studying 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And I just kind of thinking this morning, I was kind of praying about it, Lord, is that what you want me to do? And we just kind of picked out the song, Footsteps of Jesus, and we'll follow the footsteps of Jesus wherever they go. So I want this church to be in agreement this morning that wherever Christ leads us, that's where we're going. Can I hear you say amen? Wherever He leads us, that's where we're going. Don't be scared of it. And I'm not going to teach anything that's bad, wrong, or anything like that. I'm not going to teach anything outside of the Bible. I'm not interested in what man has to say about things. I'm interested in what God has to say about it. So I'm going to put the verses up on the screen. But I think it'd be good if you took note of these things this morning and made just some notes and just kind of wrote it down and did your own study. And I strongly encourage that among everybody, is that for you to do your own study of the Word of God, independent of what I'm going to say between the verses. Do your own study. Let the Holy Ghost teach you. Let God richly dwell in you and lead you. All right? So the first thing, and basically this teaching is, where should we get our doctrine? Where should we get our doctrine? Where does our doctrine come from? And what is the basis for the things that you and I say we believe? What is the basis, or what should be the basis of that? And I'll tell you what's a little bit behind this. I'll go ahead and let some of you know, and I'm not going to give a lot of specifics, anything like that. But in the last couple of weeks, I've been talked about by people. Okay, they've made videos against me. And I don't care about that. I mean, I really don't care about that. These people, I thought maybe I could be friends with them. Found out I probably can't. Because I'm not going to agree with some of the things they said, then we're just not going to see eye to eye. And they've already made it clear that, you know, whatever. But underlying one of the videos that's been made is the idea of what's called dispensationalism. Has anybody ever heard of that? Three people. Do you know why three people out of this church have heard of that? Because primarily, the only groups that will teach dispensationalism are primarily independent Baptists, okay? And not all of them do. Some of them do, okay? It was never taught here. And I've had six pastors in this church since I've been here, and none of them ever taught it. I've never read dispensationalism in the scripture. However, the word dispensation is used four times. And I believe that there were two dispensations. The Old Testament and the New Testament. The Bible says one of the uses of the word, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, God sent His Son. So there was an old covenant, an Old Testament, and a new covenant. And now, and Paul talks about the dispensation of grace which had been given to him. So as far as I can see from the Bible, there were two periods in which God dealt. He first dealt with Israel back in the Old Testament, but then He deals with the whole world, including Israel, in the New Testament. But when you go back now and look at the Old Testament, you can clearly see that our doctrines and things that we believe do come from teachings out of the Old Testament. So that's what we believe, okay? But there are those who are saying that there are whole places in the Bible that you and I should not get our doctrine from. And they call it rightly dividing the truth. Now, and you've heard that phrase before, right? Rightly dividing the... Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've all heard that verse before. Did it not ever occur to anybody that the Bible would have already been rightly divided by the one who wrote it?
Amen.
There it is. Here's the Old Testament. Here's the New Testament. It's rightly, see how easy that is? It's rightly divided. Okay? So that a 10-year-old child can understand that there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. And Jesus said, except you come to me as little children, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So anybody can understand there was an old covenant, an old law, an Old Testament, and a New Testament. And that's basically all I know of rightly dividing the word of truth, of dispensations. That's all that I see from the scripture concerning these things. But there are people out there who have a doctrine, and when verses in the Bible contradict their doctrine, here's what they do. They say, well, that verse is not speaking to us. That verse belongs to Israel. That's how they do it. So when the verse contradicts the doctrine, you take the verse out and put it in a different box, and now you say, see, our doctrine still stands. That's cheating. Amen? It's cheating. You can't do that. You can't write a doctrine, and then when you read something in the Bible that messes the doctrine up, you can't take it out of the Bible and put it away somewhere. I won't say that, because I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. But you just can't do that. And I'm going to show you from the Bible why you can't do that. I'm going to show it to you from the Scripture. So the first place we're going to look, 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is that what you believe? Say amen.
Amen.
And it's profitable for what? Doctrine. Now let's stop right here. Okay? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So what this verse is teaching you, very plain. In fact, you tell me what you think it's teaching you, and let's see if there's an agreement. What do you think it's saying?
All of it.
Our doctrine should come from where? All Scripture. So can I get doctrine from Genesis? Let me ask you a question. Is God the same or is He different from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Same God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not a man that He should lie. God does not change. And so if the doctrine is right, then it's right in the whole of the Scripture. All of the Scripture would teach the doctrine, would teach the understanding, would give you the lesson. That's what it's telling you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And I say this because I was in a conversation with a guy one time, an independent Baptist, and I'm not knocking anybody this morning. It's not about humans. It's not about our little ideas and our cliques. It's about what's true. So I'm not knocking anybody. But we were talking about an issue, and I said, here's what I'm seeing from the Scripture. And I went in and talked about a certain parable that Jesus taught, and he said, well, I don't get my doctrine from the parables. But you should. And I'll actually show you from the Scriptures that you can get your doctrine from the parables. But he had decided that he was not going to get any doctrine from any of the parables of Christ. That's wrong. That's a mistake, and I'll show you why. But right here it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, to reprove what it is you believe. If you have an idea, and you think it stands solid on Scripture, you know what you ought to do? Go back and read the Scripture again. Maybe, just maybe, we're not as smart as God is. Just maybe. For correction. That way, if you're wrong, and we talk all the time around here, people say, well, you know, I kind of believe this. And if a verse jumps in my mind and I think it applies to that, and I'll say, you know, yeah, you know what it says right here in John, whatever. But if someone says, well, I think this, and I think of a verse in my mind that contradicts that, Did you know that as far as this church is concerned, I've never had a problem with anybody saying, well, you know, that is that, you know, I've never had a problem with someone saying, well, that verse doesn't apply there. Well, I'd like to see what it says in the original. I've never had that in this church. We just decided we're going to believe what the book says. And so we think about it, we talk about it, iron sharpeneth iron, and someone says, well, you know, pastor, you know, what about this verse here? Well, you know, that, hey, you know what, that's something I think we need to think about. I'm going to, before I say anything publicly, I think I'm going to go back and examine this. That way we're not looking stupid, amen? Let's be wise. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture applies to all good works. And if you don't have the whole Bible, how can you have all your doctrine right? How can you have all your works right? And how can you be perfect if you have an imperfect Bible? So rule number one is all scripture is given for doctrine. All scripture. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So look at how he's right here in Hebrews 1 and 2, we have the Bible rightly divided. He said, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's the Old Testament. Elijah was a prophet, Isaiah was a prophet, Zechariah was a prophet, Ezekiel was a prophet, Moses was a prophet, David was a prophet. It's referred to as the law and the prophets, or simply the law, or the old covenant, or the Old Testament. All of those words apply to the books between Genesis and Malachi. So there was many prophets, and God spake through those men. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So now we have the New Testament. We have the beginning of the words of Jesus Christ given to us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see them in Acts. We see them in 1 Corinthians. We see the words of Jesus scattered. We see them in the book of Revelation scattered throughout the New Testament. We also see the doctrine and the words of the apostles given to us in the New Testament. So right here in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, you actually see the Bible. You see the doctrinal proof, the scriptural proof for the Bible and how it is to be divided. It is already rightly divided. Old Testament, the prophets. New Testament, his Son. Last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Considering the idea of the apostles. I've even had presented to me several years ago, I was doing a Bible study, I was doing an online study on 1 Peter. And I was just kind of plugging my way through 1 Peter. I love 1 Peter. It's an amazing book. I go back and read it often. It's a good book to read. And I received emails from several people telling me, Pastor, please stop. Please hold off what you're doing. Peter and the letters of Peter were not written to us. And I went, but they're in my Bible. No, you don't understand, Pastor. Peter was written only to the Jews. Only the Jews should get their doctrine from 1 and 2 Peter. And I went, I've never heard of that in my life, Roy. Roy's sitting back there going, I didn't go to Bible college, but I don't believe that one. Amen? Okay? They said, but Pastor, you don't understand. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. I understand that. You know what that means? That his work and his ministry and his preaching was to the Jews. But if Peter speaks and it's written in my Bible, that doctrine belongs to everybody. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody get saved differently than anybody else? No. You know what Jude said? He said, I wrote unto you of the common salvation. You know what that means? Everybody gets saved the same way. We're studying on Wednesday night in Hebrews. By faith, Moses. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Enoch. You know what that means? That all of those people did what they did by faith the same way you and I are doing it today. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. God did not save anybody from Old Testament times by works. He did not. Because no one did all the works. No one did. Everyone in the Old Testament, as soon as they sinned one time, became immediately disqualified from receiving eternal life. Therefore, if they were to be in heaven, they got there by grace, through faith. Do you believe you'll see Abraham in heaven? I will. How did he get there? Not by works. As far as I can tell from the scripture, Abraham was a liar and an adulterer. I don't see anywhere where God told Abraham to go in and sleep with Hagar. I believe the Bible teaches clearly from the creation, one man, one wife.
Amen.
God did not tell Abraham to do that. His wife did, Sarah did. But God did not say that. So Abraham was in need of salvation like everybody else. But Abraham believed God. And it was attributed unto him unto righteousness. He believed God. And God imputed his righteousness onto him. So that Abraham was seen as if he had never sinned. That's how Abraham got saved. That's how you get saved. The Bible, there's one doctrine of salvation all throughout the scriptures. You don't take... Because there are some people who are teaching the Jews are going to be saved in the last days when they restart their sacrificial systems again. That ain't right, Jared. You think God's sitting up in heaven getting happy because they're burning little lambs again? No, sir. It's not going to happen that way. But this is the problems that are run into. And so people were telling me, Pastor, you can't base anything you believe in on James or Peter because they were clearly written to the Jews and we're not supposed to, we can read them, but we're not supposed to get any doctrine from them. Well, let me show you what the Bible says. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now this was the day of Pentecost. First day of the church. Notice what verse 42 says. And they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine. You know what that means? More than one apostle. And Paul was not even in on the scene yet. Peter, James, John, and these others were the apostles. And the church began immediately on its first day to be based upon the doctrine of the plural apostles, all of them, and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Look at what the Bible says. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. For now, here's why God gave these apostles their ministry. He gave them grace, and he gave them apostleship. Let's very quickly look at what the apostle is. He was one, God gave the office of apostle as an early authority over the affairs and the doctrines of the church. There are no apostles now living because we already have all of the doctrine of the apostles in our books. The faith of Paul and Peter and James and John and these other apostles, their doctrines are still valid and still applied to this very day. So the apostleship was given, number one, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And so the doctrines of the apostle, he said, we have received grace and apostleship. Plural. Us apostles received our office, good morning, Scotty, for obedience to the faith. So how is it that you and I can know what it is to believe but by the ministry of the apostles who gave us their doctrine? 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And so God gave these gifts. He has set these things in order. And the apostles were chief over the church. and their doctrines apply even to this day. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, what did we see in Hebrews chapter 1? We saw that the Bible was telling you how it was divided, how the scriptures are divided. So God spake in times past unto our fathers by the prophets. That's the Old Testament. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Look at what the church is built upon. It's built upon the foundation of the apostles, plural, and prophets. So that means that our doctrinal foundations must come from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament.
Amen.
And I don't know how anybody else does it. I'm not here to judge anybody. What I do when I'm searching the scriptures, looking for answers to a question I have, I'll search the whole of the Bible. I'll go, if I'm looking for a word or a phrase, how it used, I go all the way back. I search the whole scriptures to find out how it's used. I will tell you that there are parts of the Bible that aid me better as far as how the Bible defines a certain word. Usually I look in Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. In those places there, the Bible, that seems to be part of like the dictionary or the concordance of the Bible. It's really amazing. It's really neat. If I'm looking for how a word is defined in the scriptures, I won't say all the times, but mostly I'm going to find it in Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. It's just in the middle of the book, by the way. Okay. So anyway, so our doctrine, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So there it is right there. And Jesus can be seen in the Old Testament, can He not? Did you know the rock that Moses struck and water came out of it? You know who Paul said that rock was? It's Christ. He said, which rock was Christ? He was in the Old Testament. They just didn't see Him for how He really is. He looks like a rock. He looks like a lamb. He looks like a river. Christ is all and in all, the Bible says. So He was everywhere in the Old Testament. They just couldn't recognize Him. So we have all these pictures in the Old Testament that the Jews, because they only read the Old Testament, they can't understand. We have the apostles, we have the New Testament, and Jesus Christ, who gives us revelation. Now we look through the whole of the scriptures, and we gain understanding and doctrine and learning from all these places in the Bible. And the Bible says that that's how it is to be. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we are built upon this foundation of the prophets, Old Testament, the apostles, and Christ, the whole Bible together. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. I just told about that. When the Israelites saw that rock and water coming from it, they did not know that that was Christ. They didn't know that. It was a mystery to them. He said, as it is now revealed unto His holy who? Let's see here. There it is right there. Unto His holy apostles, plural, Peter, James, John, Paul, Matthew. All of these men who wrote the scriptures of the New Testament, that's where our doctrine comes from. As it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets, we can also see it in the Old Testament, by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Same body as who? The Jews. Same body as the Jews. And partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. The Jews are going to be saved when they realize that the guy that they hung on a cross 2,000 years ago, That was their Savior. You remember what Joseph said to his brethren after they sold him in slavery? And finally they show up and he's feeding, he saved their lives is what he did. He kept them from starving to death. You know what Joseph said? He said, don't be afraid of me, guys. I'm not mad at you. What you did to me, you did for evil, but God meant it unto you for good.
Amen.
Amen. See, we understand the doctrines. We see them in the Old Testament, in typology, in the prophecies. We understand them. In fact, God bolsters those doctrines. They don't ever take away from the doctrine. They're bolstered by that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And here's I'm answering specifically the people who have told me, Pastor, you cannot base your doctrine upon anything that Peter said. Well, it says right here, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who's he writing to? Those who have obtained like precious faith. And really what some people want you to believe is that while we believe one thing, the Jews are going to believe another and are going to be built up differently than what you and I are going to be built up. That is not what it says. That's not what the Bible's telling you. It's not scriptural to believe that in heaven, all of the Gentile church people are going to live in a separate city with only one apostle as its foundation. That doctrine does not exist in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. There it is again. Old Testament. And of the commandment of us apostles of the Lord and Savior. There it is. There is your rightly dividing the word of truth. Three or four times now we've seen this in the scriptures. That it's the Old Testament through the prophets. Now it's the New Testament through the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is already rightly divided. God didn't leave it up to us to do anything for Him. He's already done it. Can I get an amen out of somebody? God's so smarter than we are. He is so much more wise than we are. So rather than you trust Him... Gary, where's... You have that book? No, we don't got time. Rather than you go read somebody's huge book on how they say you must read and understand the Bible, your time is better spent reading the Bible. In fact, I'll say this to not so much you guys, but all those that listen. I have people that tell me they watch some video of mine every day. I'm blessed by that, but I think it'd be better for you to spend, if you're going to spend that much time listening to me, shut that off, go get your Bible out, and spend that much time listening to God. Because I promise you, I'm going to mess up one of these days. And I already have. No doubt in my mind about it. I'm going to slip up and I'm going to say something that ain't right. I'm going to say something that I'm going to come back here and I'm going to have to go, I was wrong. I'm going to have to do that. And so you're going to be better off in the long run. And all I'm trying to do is give everybody the tools on how to read it. And it's actually very simple. Just pick it up, read it. Read here a little, Isaiah 28. Read here a little, and read there a little. You know what the Holy Ghost will do? He'll show you how they connect, just like DNA. He'll show you how they hook up. And you'll go, look at that. And you'll have doodads going down your neck, and you'll have tears in your eyes. Because God gave you some fresh oil. He gave you a new understanding of what's in that book. And you'll say, you won't go, bless God, I'm going to start making YouTube videos. You won't do that. You know what you'll do?
You get on your face before God and say, God, I'm so wretched. God, I've been wicked all day long. Why did you show me that? God says, because I love you and you believe the book. That's what he'll do. You'll be writing me with stuff that I'd never seen in the Bible. And people are already doing that. Pastor, did you? And I'll go, man, that's good. How come I didn't see that, God? God said, well, you just did. I just showed it to you. Amen. Anyway, it's already rightly divided. You don't need anybody to help you with it. Just read it, believe it, and study it. And I've got some more to continue on this. We'll continue it next week. But let's get our Bible. Let's get our doctrine from the Bible. Amen. Let's do it. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for your kindness, your goodness to us. Thank you, God, Lord, that you took babes. You took fishermen. And you took publicans and sinners. You took people, Lord, that didn't know letters, didn't have letters behind their name. And you took the foolish people of the world and gave them a book full of doctrine so that they could confound the wise. And Lord, bless the ditch digger and the tree cutter and the grass mower and the welder and the builder. Bless all the farmers, God. Bless the housewives. Bless, Lord, just common, simple people who just open the book and they just believe what it says. They didn't go to seminary to get taught on how they didn't have to believe everything. They're your people, God, and they just believe what it says. And Lord, you make them profoundly wiser than the people around them, God, because of it. Lord, this Bible is so simple, and it's profound in its simplicity. And Lord, don't let anybody take us from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Bless your people, Lord. Arm us, Lord, with the Word of God. We thank you in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.